Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And rocked one of the world's tallest complexes, causing so far unknown injuries. At least two people are dead. We had an earlier report that maybe three people were killed. That has now been downscaled to two people killed, as many as 300 injured, tens of thousands of people who work in the World Trade Center complex of five buildings evacuated. In fact, that process is still going on. The whole entire WCBS News Radio 88 team is live down here in Lower Manhattan, including WCBS chopper pilot Neil Bush, who's been watching this all afternoon. Neil, one of the things we've been watching Port Authority helicopters do is ferry some of the injured from the top of the World Trade Center tower to a heliport down below.
Okay, Tim, thanks very much. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful to see those choppers up there? And we did get a nice break. The weather was not cooperating when this story broke some several hours ago. The overcast was below the top of the World Trade Center. Since then, I'll tell you, it looks like a picture postcard right now. The World Trade Center in some sunshine, blue sky, and some chunky clouds overhead. It's just perfect. And those helicopter operations continue. We just saw one lift off again and come back down to the West Street area adjacent to the World Trade Center. What has happened here in the last half hour, 20 minutes, is we've been looking at the local gridwork of streets around the World Trade Center spreading over toward the FDR Drive, coming up to Canal Street. What has happened here in the last 45 minutes is that they have just totally shut off the entire area. We're just going by West Broadway here now. Police vehicles are blocking access now, heading southbound. So everything south of Canal is totally shut off. The entire area has been abandoned to emergency equipment only. Hundreds and hundreds of those, of course, surround the buildings around the World Trade Center. The other thing that we have observed is far fewer pedestrians in some of the side street areas, and perhaps that bodes well, because about an hour and a half ago, it was just chunk filled with many of them on those side streets, but there's been a dramatic decrease in that, so maybe that means that quite a few people that were in the buildings are now out of the buildings and on their way to some help. I hope that's the case. Here's a footnote. We just got word of a possible bomb threat at the Empire State Building. We took a site down 34th Street, and indeed, a lot of emergency equipment is on 34th Street in front of the Empire State Building, so some delays are building there. We're going to check that out next. Let's go back now to Tim.
Okay, Neil, again, we're down here at the World Trade Center, where about 12:30 this all occurred, with an explosion underground at a parking level, perhaps two, three stories below ground. Police are still investigating this. The area of the explosion right around the Vista Hotel, World Trade Center Tower number 2, part of the complex of one of the world's tallest business complexes. With me, WCBS reporter Irene Cornell. What can you tell us about what officialdom is telling us?
Well, Tim, right now they don't know what caused it. There was some real heroic work by police and firemen who got here instantly and went right into that explosion area. They were digging people out by hand from under the rubble. About 15 people at least were trapped under rubble, screaming for help when they first got here. As for Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, the big question now is what caused it, and he doesn't have much of an answer. Here's what he said.
We don't know how it started. We know very little about the cause. We know that it was a major explosion. We have fire marshals and police investigators are at the immediate scene now trying to make some determination as to the cause, but certainly nothing definitive at this time.
Has any indication of an explosive device been uncovered?
Well, we're not ruling out anything at this time.
So they're not ruling out an explosive device, Commissioner Kelly said, though there were no threats that he knows of at this point.
So again, Irene, this is an explosion that occurred right below tower number 2 at the World Trade Center, perhaps two, three stories below in an underground garage area. We're told it's the parking garage area, but again, to heat this building for air conditioning purposes, the electricity system, all of that is transferred from all of the floors in the building down below to those lower sub-basements where the guts of that building, if you will, operate out of level 5 or level 6 underground at the World Trade Center. Now again, as many as 40 to 50,000 people work in this complex every single day, so you can as well imagine that they all felt this, and indeed they tell the story of feeling it. They also experienced smoke problems. That smoke traveled up stairwells. The electricity was shut off in much of the building for a time. Even the emergency generators had to be shut down because of flooding in the basement because of all of this activity. An absolutely incredible day and an incredible experience for all of the people at the World Trade Center who had worked here. Michael Lysak, who was standing by, has the story of one of them. Mike?
Well, as you say, Tim, 40, 50,000 people, it is like a small city in the sky in the space of one square block, all of those people having to be evacuated. One person I talked to, Mr. Clinton G., was on the 107th floor of World Trade Center Tower Number 1. The 107th floor is the location of Windows on the World, a very fancy restaurant where he was having lunch.
Having lunch, at 12:30 we felt a couple of explosions, and next thing we know there's a fire in the building, so we walked all the way down.
You have soot all over your face. This is not the way you like to spend lunch at Windows on the World.
Exactly. It was a different experience.
How did you get down?
Down the stairwell. We lost lights on about the 80th floor, so we kind of felt our way all the way down.
Smoke in the stairwell?
A lot of smoke in the stairwell.
That gentleman obviously got out okay, as did so many thousands of people. But of course, many people still trapped inside, and there are thousands of stories to tell. And Tim, we'll be hearing these stories for days and weeks to come.
Mike, you bring up a key point. Actually, with all of those people who were working in the building, people are indeed still coming out. And Doug Spiro, who has been here, my goodness, since shortly after the explosion occurred, is standing by with me. Doug, you just came from one of the entrances. You're still finding people coming out.
Tim, they are indeed still coming out. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of people making their way down step by step, floor by floor. And the question is, was there any panic involved?
Not really. People stayed very calm. It was when the room started to really fill up with smoke that they started to break out the windows. I think if they hadn't broken the windows out, people would have panicked because you couldn't see very far, maybe 5 or 6 feet in front of you because the smoke was so thick.
Some authorities say don't break the windows during a situation like that. You dispute that?
Definitely.
I'm sorry.
Smoke was thick. You had to break the windows. You ain't getting no insulation. The smoke was coming through the air vents and everything. You had to break them. Or you'll suffocate in there and smuggle with the smoke.
And you've got the soot all over your face. I see you're cleaning up here.
It's not exactly the way to start the weekend, but makes for an interesting story later on.
And Tim, one of the women who came out, the first thing she did, like so many others, after 3, perhaps 4 hours of smoke and soot, they lit up a cigarette.
I'm telling you, it was absolutely incredible, Doug, watching the almost endless stream of people for a couple of hours be escorted out of the building. I'm told it was like the Lincoln Tunnel in morning rush hour in the stairwells of some of the World Trade Center buildings as people were jammed up for some 40 stories, I'm told, waiting to be escorted out of the building, many of them coming out complaining about them being given no instructions whatsoever. On the other hand, many of them very, very grateful that this was not worse than it was. But indeed, it was an incredible tale of what happened, an explosion in a sub-basement at the World Trade Center, leaving at least 2 dead, 300 people injured. Many of the injured were taken only a couple of blocks away toward the east side of Manhattan at New York Hospital's Beekman location, where our colleague Lou Miliano is standing by. Lou?
Yes, Timmy, at now called New York Downtown Hospital, over 100 of the injured have been brought here, a majority of them suffering, of course, smoke inhalation, also some lacerations, cuts, and bruises. A full third of the on-duty staff of 400 has been mobilized. The cafeteria here even being converted into a makeshift staging area for treatment of the less seriously injured. On the staff, Dr. William Coley says among those to be admitted, a New York City firefighter.
Kevin Shea was one of the firemen from Rescue 1, had fallen about 2 flights through some of the collapsed floors and broke his kneecap.
So what kind of safety is he in?
He's fine. He's fine. He's going to stay. He'll need surgery for the knee, but he's fine.
Okay, he fell through 2 floors?
He fell two flights after falling through one of the floors that had collapsed.
How did he fall?
I don't know the details. I just know that doing the search in the area below where the explosion was, he fell through an opening and fell two flights, and they had to go down and get him and bring him up.
Of the 104 victims from the World Trade Center, about 20 to 30, they say, are expected to be admitted here at New York Downtown Hospital. Tim?
WCBS reporter Lou Miliano reporting from New York Hospital, where some of the injured were taken from this World Trade Center explosion. Now, again, we've had a discussion already about what perhaps caused this. Police are not really saying anything official. We have heard from fire officials that there was no significant signature of a transformer explosion, and they would indeed have seen that. The color of the flame would be very unique. The smell would be very unique. They didn't see any of that. An electrical fire, well, that is a possibility, but again, they have no evidence of that. They have also spoken about perhaps a gas explosion. The explosion here was incredibly violent, and the remnants of it are absolutely incredible as well. I keep using that word, but it's the only word to describe it, or among the only words to describe it. It left a crater in the sub-basement area of the World Trade Center, somewhere around 3 to 5 stories tall and about 50 to 100 feet wide. So one of the other possibilities is clearly that perhaps an explosive device was used here. And indeed, the New York City Bomb Squad has been on the scene only from minutes after this happened. We have been told that they have no definitive information as to whether they found any evidence of an explosive device. But again, that is one of the possibilities that they have to look into, because there is no obvious large gas line that goes through this area. And again, the source of the explosion, not known, but it certainly was within the area that would be consistent with a parking garage, and there was no real utility closet in that area. So it's going to be indeed the story of the next day or more as to what exactly happened to cause this explosion at the World Trade Center, something that the people who work here fear, New York City emergency responders fear, and indeed it came true today. Back to the studio.
WCBS reporter Tim Scheld and our team at the World Trade Center, and what an extraordinary evacuation. How many people work at the Twin Towers?
Well, 40,000 people, and it's a tremendous number. And when you think about the power of the explosion, 1,000-square-foot area of a steel-reinforced concrete floor blown away. I mean, that's amazing. 100 by 100 feet, whatever blew up there was some either device or there's a tremendous power involved with this explosion. And then, of course, the smoke went up through the building, chimneyed through, and they still have hundreds, if not thousands, of people awaiting evacuation. Last time we heard from the PD, they'd been up through 50 floors. They're going floor by floor, room by room, searching the whole area.
And, of course, the evacuations, too, of the people who need it most immediately from helicopter on top.
And just one other thing. How big is the World Trade Center? The only building complex with 2 zip codes.
While all this has been going on, one of our continuing stories has finally been resolved. The word came a few minutes ago, and WCBS reporter Mary Gay Taylor is live with that about the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Mary Gay?
It appears the St. Patrick's Day Parade this year will be run by the traditional Hibernians, and that the gays will not be included. Federal Judge Kevin Duffy has issued a preliminary ruling that applies to this year's parade only. He said the Hibernians should have the parade permit, and he orders the city not to interfere with the conduct of the Hibernians parade by requiring the inclusion of any contingent which has not been approved by the AOH and the parade committee. And he calls the Human Rights Commission decision that called the parade a public accommodation and which said that the gays should be included, he refers to that as patently unconstitutional.
So that's for this year only, Mary Gay?
Only, but the Frankie Byrne, who is this year's consultant, but in years past has been a chairman, he said, we'll take this to the top court, and it is their feeling that that all the issues have been resolved, so why is it temporary, they want to know.
Now, Mary Gay, we have another question before you. Mayor Dinkins, has been on his visit to Tokyo.
Yes.
Have you heard any word from the mayor's people on his reaction to what's happened today at the World Trade Center?
They are just in communication, and we're hoping to have a conversation with him within minutes back at City Hall. They're hoping to set up a telephone hookup, which, if it comes through, we'll get his reaction firsthand.
And who's been in control of this massive evacuation and rescue operation? Has it been Deputy Mayor Norman Stiesel?
Well, he is the person in charge from the governmental point of view, but then there is the police commissioner and the fire commissioner.
WCBS reporter Mary Gay Taylor with that developing story. WCBS News Time, 4:45.
Now, a special report from WCBS News Radio 88.
And sitting in for Harley Carnes, good afternoon. I'm Wayne Cabot.
And I'm Therese Crowley. Two people are confirmed dead this afternoon in the explosion and fire two stories beneath the World Trade Center in the garage level. It's level B2, an explosion that blew the floor out of the garage area.
We're told that one person died at the scene. This is from the Port Authority. The other person died at arrival at a nearby hospital. The Port Authority now says one person was killed on a parking level beneath the Trade Center's Twin Towers, and as many as 300 people have been injured, either from smoke inhalation or, in some cases, from flying glass coming down from the towers above as people who were trapped in there with the smoke pouring in smashed windows to try to get some fresh air.
Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says it'll be impossible to tell exactly what set off the explosion, but he can't rule out the possibility that it was caused by perhaps a powerful car bomb. Now, the fire burned for about 2 hours after the explosion. Now, 4.5 hours later, thousands of people, hundreds, perhaps thousands, are still being led down from the higher stories in a search by firefighters. And it's been so dramatic to talk to those people who have been trapped in the World Trade Center since 12:18 this afternoon with no power. And they're making their way down. They're collecting in large groups. And to talk to them and how calm they are, Rich Lamb.
That's true. And one of the reasons that they are calm is that officials in there, some of them trapped themselves, have been urging them to stay calm. In fact, we talked a little while ago with Port Authority Executive Director Stanley Brezhnev, who was on one of the floors there, the 48th floor at last report. He had made his way down a stairway and ran into a thick wall of smoke. He and Mark Marchese, who is his information officer, and about 200 other people were waiting in a room, and we were told he got up on a desk and started to tell them to be calm.
The only thing I've been doing is standing on a desk and counseling calm and patience, and but as far as the rest of it goes, I know when I'm out of my league.
So, Stan, let me just ask you this question. Has this ever crossed your mind? Did you ever think about being in a situation like this? And what is the reality like versus what you'd been thinking about?
Well, first, it is a bit scary. The lights were out. It was dark on the staircase. You could feel the smoke gathering. But I don't think anything really prepares you for that. On the other hand, you could take great solace and strength from the fact that all of the people around you were walking calmly, were helping one another. We had teams carrying the two wheelchairs down, and even my bad back isn't hurting. I guess maybe that's what I need, exercise from time to time. So, yeah, it is in its way very intimidating. On the other hand, people really behaved extraordinarily well and helped one another out and responded to direction.
That's Port Authority Executive Director Stanley Brezhnev, who is himself one of those inside the World Trade Center, was at last report in any event, trying to make his way down through the World Trade Center, which has been involved in an explosion this afternoon. And Neil Bush in Chopper 88 has been keeping a bird's eye on rescue efforts. Helicopters were ferrying people from the top of one of the World Trade Center towers. Neil, is that still underway up there?
It is from time to time, Rich, I believe. Less frequently than it was about an hour and a half ago, but occasionally I do see somebody up there. Now, whether they're actually landing or not, I'm not concentrating on that to see if they're doing that, but it does seem to be less frequently than it was an hour and a half ago. And Lower Manhattan now has been totally surrendered to emergency equipment only. Every intersection south of Canal Street is totally blocked. We looked at Broadway a moment ago, from City Hall down to Battery Park, and there is nobody there, nobody but police cars, and that's about it. So nothing but emergency equipment now in lower Manhattan. And here's what you need to know if you're a driver in this area. You need to avoid the inbound Brooklyn and Manhattan bridges. They're solidly bumper to bumper. The Battery Tunnel is closed, but the Gowanus is okay. No delays now in the Gowanus 2 and up the lower Brooklyn Queens Expressway. Just don't try and go into Manhattan via the Brooklyn or the Manhattan Bridge. The Williamsburg Bridge, that's the way to go. In and outbound Willie is okay. On the west side, inbound at the Holland Tunnel, one lane is closed. In spite of that, only about a 15-minute delay, but caution there because that'll bring you over to Canal, and Canal is wall-to-wall. I think a better idea if you're coming into Manhattan is head up to the Lincoln Tunnel. There we've got about a 15-minute delay. And now let's see if we can raise Bob Jackson, Suburban Sky Patrol. Oh, I guess not. Bob's not with us this time. Let's check in now with Craig Allen in the WCBS Weather Center.
All righty, Neil. The light snow, the flurries, they're coming to an end. Partly cloudy, windy weather developing overnight. Lows in the teens to near 20 degrees. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. A windy day, high 30 to 35. And Sunday should be sunny with highs in the mid to upper 30s. It's 25 degrees. East wind at 7 right now. And that makes it feel like 16. Tonight's lows will drop down into the teens.
WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen, WCBS News Time 451. In just a moment, we're going to talk live to somebody from the Division of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. There have been reports that some of the vehicles may have been affected in the World Trade Center. We'll see if we can get some confirmation on that. Meantime, let's go to the World Trade Center, the 86th floor. We're now connected with David Marcells, who's among those still trapped up there. How you doing so far?
Hi, we just like to say that the people that are helping here is incredible. I mean, everybody that's able-bodied is helping everyone, and this is great. It seems right now that the smoke is a little bit clearing right now. It appears that the building was hit in the side with Howard Stern's nose.
All right. Some jerk, obviously, on the line. Really bright to do it in a time like this, huh?
And joining us live on the news line now, a gentleman from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
And he's a man by the name of John O'Brien, a special agent with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. His office is across the street from the World Trade Center, and he heard the explosion. Agent O'Brien, can you tell us what it was like from your perspective?
Basically, we heard a loud report of noise at approximately 12:15 this afternoon, and events developed from that point.
Okay, and was there a vibration where you were located, or did you see smoke, or what?
No, I didn't see anything, just heard the retort.
Okay, I have a question for you, and that is, we have a report there are some cars from your agency parked in the area of the explosion. Is that correct, or can you tell us about that?
There's a large parking area in the World Trade Center that have various agencies and civilian cars parked in it. I'm not really sure how close that was to where they believe the explosion occurred.
I know that they have parking areas down around the World Trade Center labeled FLEO, Federal Law Enforcement Organizations, and assume that they, if there are sensitive agencies down there, that they would have some sort of security. Is that correct, or are we putting you on the spot here?
Well, we're just talking about vehicles being parked. There's really no secret to it.
Okay, so, is there any concern that there could have been some targeting of those vehicles or personnel who might have been going in or out of the vehicles?
It's much too premature at this point to make any determination as to even what type of, even what occurred. No one knows at this point what in fact occurred. It's still under investigation by the fire department, the police department, the FBI, and our own agency, the fire marshals, and it really just is too premature at this point to speculate as to what actually occurred down there.
As Special Agent John O'Brien from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, thank you very much for coming on the air with us. Appreciate it.
Afternoon.
And again, as we say, at the World Trade Center, emergency efforts underway still to evacuate people from the towers there. Last report, they were about halfway up, checking floor by floor, room by room. And, of course, 40,000 people work in there. So the question is, how many people are left to be evacuated? The answer is we don't know. But we do know that emergency personnel have been slowly but surely making their way up to everybody who's in the building.
And, of course, if you're trying to get home, a lot of people have been trying to get home from the World Trade Center today. The PATH service was terminated from the World Trade Center. There are some other problems. Let's go to the traffic center. Here's John Grimmeyer.
Okay, and thank you, Therese. We do have other problems, of course. The main one is the PATH trains. You can't get out of World Trade Center and headed into New Jersey. You can't get into Exchange Place in New Jersey either. What you want to do for the PATH trains is get up to 33rd Street. That'll get you into New Jersey. They're still running there. Ferry service, some good news there. Hoboken Ferry is running now with every five-minute service out to midnight, and that runs between Battery Park City out into Hoboken. Also, the Port Imperial Ferry running every 4 to 6 minutes from Midtown until Weehawken, and that'll run till about 7 p.m., so you may want to consider that as well. Other transit notes, if you're going to try to get out of the city, you can get the New Jersey Transit trains out of the Pennsylvania station. They're running on a load-and-go basis, as is the New Jersey Transit buses running from the Port Authority station, load-and-go. If you can get up there, that's your best alternate. On the subways, pretty much everything running okay. You want to grab your E-trains up to Uptown and to get to 33rd Street or to the Pennsylvania station or Port Authority bus terminal. Those are your best bets there. And one more note, too, the World Trade Center bus service terminates at Houston and 9th Street, so you want to head over to that area if you're going to grab the bus service uptown. Back to Therese and Wayne.
Thank you, John Grimmeyer. We've been getting, as you've heard, some reports back and forth about perhaps it was a bomb involved. Well, now the AP is quoting a police source as saying that it was a massive bomb which caused the blast under the World Trade Center. This source, who wouldn't identify him or herself, says the Secret Service keeps a lot of vehicles in the garage beneath the Trade Center, and the blast devastated those cars and also destroyed a car that carries the president when he is in New York City. This is an unconfirmed report, but it comes from the AP quoting a police source that it was a massive bomb which caused that huge, very forceful explosion this afternoon.
Of course, the president is not in New York City today. President Clinton will be in our area, but in New Jersey coming up next Monday.
WCBS News Time 4:56. The markets had to slow down for a bit. Some of the commodities markets that were at the World Trade Center because Con Ed cut the power at 1:30 this afternoon. Dean Shepard has more about business now for Money Magazine.
The New York and American stock exchanges escaped any direct impact from the explosion and fire, but virtually every other New York-based exchange was affected, forcing early shutdowns at several. The Dow Jones Industrials closed out the week with a gain of just under 6 points at 33.71. Trading volume slowed to 235 million shares on the big board, with advancing stocks outpacing decliners by an 11-7 margin, a better than 1 point gain for the S&P 500, the Amex up a point and a half, and the over-the-counter stocks enjoyed another good session, up 3.75 points, but the long treasury backed off a bit further, down 4.32. Spot gold off $1.60 at $3.29 an ounce, crude oil down 6 cents a barrel, and the dollar picked up 0.75 yen, a full pfennig against the D-mark, and 1 cent against the pound sterling. The fourth quarter of last year was one of almost explosive growth for the economy. The gross domestic product grew at a pace of 4.8% in the final 3 months of last year, the fastest clip in 5 years and a full percentage point above the government's initial estimate. Business news at 25 and 55 around the clock here on WCBS. I'm Dean Shepard of Money Magazine for News Radio 88.
Chemical Bank talks with Bernard Kennedy, the president, and John Cullen, the CEO of King Cullen Supermarkets, about keeping the family business in the family.
As long as we can do it, we want to keep King Cullen out there as that viable family company.
Well, I would never think of selling out or anything like that, because there's too many people that have had their life's history here.
We're proud that we were America's first supermarket. We want to have that company be nurtured by the children that come on after us and continue that tradition on.
It's wonderful to see the spirit we have. I'm never going to retire, I'll tell you that.
The people at King Cullen are dedicated to preserving the family business, and so are the people at Chemical Bank.
We recognize Chemical as one of the leading banks in our area.
We've been dealing with them quite a long time.
As much as they've helped us in the past, I think they can help us even further in the future.
It's a wonderful bank to have.
Chemical Bank, taking your family business to the next generation.
It starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. and goes straight through till midnight. Levitt's 14-hour midnight sale. The furniture sale that is so big, Levitt's had to extend their hours to midnight. Many new items have just arrived. Still others are one of a kind. Odds and ends, closeouts, but that's not all. On approved credit, you need make no down payment and no monthly payments until June. Plus, no finance charges if paid in full by the June due date. That's not all. Take advantage of extra bonus dollar savings when you purchase $300 or more. Get to Levitt's tomorrow between 10 a.m. and midnight, because when the clock strikes 12, it's all over.
You'll love it at Levitt's!
24% APR finance charge. Minimum 50 cents will accrue, but account will be credited if paid by the June 1993 due date. Offer grid Saturday only.
WCBS News Time 4:59. Let's get a quick check of weather from Craig Allen in the WCBS Weather Center.
Skies will be partially clearing during the night. It's also going to get windy as the storm intensifies offshore, lows in the teens to near 20. Partly to mostly sunny, still windy tomorrow, highs just 30 to 35. Clear and very cold tomorrow night, low again in the teens to near 20. Less wind, mainly sunny Sunday, and temperatures will recover slightly to the mid and upper 30s.
WCBS New York, 5 o'clock.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.